Welcome to the Center for Financial Inclusion's podcast series. In this episode, Campaign for Client Protection Director Robin Ratcliffe speaks with Asad Mahmood, Managing Director of Global Social Investment Funds at Deutsche Bank, and Shamit Ghosh, the Managing Director of India's Ujjivan, about their roles as Campaign Steering Committee members and their personal commitments to client protection.
I'm Robin Ratcliffe. I'm from the Center for Financial Inclusion. And I'm really happy to be here today with two members of the steering committee for the Campaign for Client Protection in Microfinance, Asad Mahmood, who heads all of the social investment activities at Deutsche Bank and is based in New York City, and Shamit Ghosh, who is the founder and CEO of Ujjivan Financial Services in India, based in Bangalore, but operating in many states in India. I'd really like to hear from both of you something about what brought you, amidst your extremely busy schedules, to accept the invitation to join the steering committee and to help us launch this campaign for client protection in microfinance. So why don't we start with Shamit?
I think, the way microfinance is maturing in India, and expanding, there are a lot of issues which are coming up, and they are largely related to client protection, which can blow up into serious problems. So I thought this was a very good initiative at the right time, and I thought I'd join this.
Terrific. Let me follow up with just a moment. What perhaps you could say a little bit about the kinds of problems that can happen, particularly as you mentioned in India, the growth of microfinance has been really triple pace, quadruple pace of many parts of the world. What kind of problems?
Well, one of the major problems we have now is multiple lending. And that leads to all kinds of problems, not only with the customer in terms of credit and other issues, but also social problems, which translate to problems with the government, with the administrators, and things like that, where people come in conflict. And a couple of years ago, this kind of a thing arose first in Andhra, but now it is spreading to other states.
And it's over-lending by the microfinance institutions, or also just the clients trying to get ahead and therefore overestimating their ability to repay?
I think it's both, but I firmly believe that most clients are very wise. There are elements who cannot resist. It's just like a lot of us, as I said, love sweets. Some can eat sweets with moderation. Others like me don't, and unfortunately we have a lot of customers, or not a lot, I would say a small percentage, who get into trouble.
And Asad, many people working in the industry know you very well, and know the leadership that you've played at Deutsche Bank in growing several quite large investment funds. So when you were invited and aware of the goals of the campaign, you decided to also, in fact, you were really one of the people that kind of pushed it forward. So tell us a little bit about your motivation and your thinking.
I think I see microfinance as a very important movement in changing the world. Microfinance is a human effort, and every human effort has some failings and problems. The regular financial markets have a lot of problems. That doesn't mean that we stop doing it, but that we be transparent, that we acknowledge what the issues are and try to address them. And in my decade long of working in this industry, I think I have increasingly seen the risk of lack of focus on the people that we started out to serve, and a lot of fraud that happens at MFIs in terms of unethical practices, practices of being not completely transparent. In Bangladesh, there is 50% of the clients of Grameen, ASA, and BRAC have overlap, and they estimate that 30% of that market is over indebted. So the consequences of those things will come out to play. But, my real focus in this was that we have always directed Deutsche Bank's focus in microfinance as saying that we are using business methods to achieve social goals. We feel that this industry, in order for it to grow, that the importance of what Axion is bringing in terms of transparency, in terms of clarity, in terms of discussing very difficult issues that people don't want to talk about, but those issues need to be talked about. I know there are risks here, but the risk of not talking about them and not devoting the time it takes for these challenges to be addressed is far greater. And that is the reason we are here at the table.
Very interesting. Let me follow up on that just a little bit, because yes, yesterday, this is the first meeting of the steering committee that has gathered here in Washington in the early couple of days of March. One of the topics has been, and will continue to be today, the second day of the meeting, how do we address those tough topics? And some of the tough topics are around fair pricing. How do we describe fair pricing? You know, how does one make that judgment or come up with a way to calculate it? I think there's less discussion around ethical treatment. Seems like there's pretty much a lot of agreement about what and what is not ethical treatment, or I should say proper treatment by loan officers to their clients. But what do you see as the role, Shamit, of the steering committee in leading these tough discussions? Asad just said a lot of people in the industry shy away. You know, maybe it'll just go away if we don't talk about it. Seems like the steering committee agrees that that's not the case. How do you see the steering committee taking on those tough conversations and leading the industry in that discussion?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things which the steering committee should do is not just say that these are the six standards and you've got to follow it, etc. I think all of us in practitioners realize that these are real issues which have to be tackled. And they are not easy issues to be resolved, you know. So most practitioners need sort of help. Whether it's in training or awareness or education in terms of how you handle this problem. Take, for instance, your point about fair pricing. Professor Yunus had about a few months back issued a kind of a thumb rule. And basically he said that if your pricing is within 10% above your cost of funds, your cost of funds plus 10%, and if your pricing is within that, you are in the green zone. If you are within 15% on top of your cost of funds, you are in yellow. If you are beyond 15, you are in red. Now, you know, I mean, it may be a thumb rule, but that's something to go by. And Mixed Market actually did an analysis of this over regions, and Latin America unfortunately came out the worst. And the best was Asia, in terms of pricing.
And so, when you say the worst, Latin America the worst, Asia the best, do you mean the differential between cost of funds and the interest rate
was
charged?
They were all in the red zone, you know. So I think if, studies like this are bought around and explained to people, it would help a lot, you know. And similarly, for multiple lending, you know, there are so many as Asad mentioned, you know, there's a history of multiple lending in Bangladesh. There are a lot of case studies which have been done there, I'm sure. And if we develop training programs for people to become aware of these things for practitioners around, I think it would help a lot. The other five areas which you talked about, which are in the principle, is basically service quality, you know. In fact, just before I came, in the first 3 years when you're in operation, you're just looking to get the business started, getting how many customers, getting viable, etc. Even though you have a little bits and pieces of service quality built into your, you know, training programs and the practices, it's not enough, you know. So we right now are trying to develop a full-fledged service quality program right from beginning to end in Ujjivan. If we get help in that, what we do is resort to our old banking days and look up our old manuals and what we did in terms of service quality there and try to implement it here. But if we could get help in terms of implementing service quality in a microfinance institution, that would be great.
Robin, can I just comment on...
Please, please.
Yeah. I think, you know, we sort of like to talk on extremes. It's a lot easier to take position, and it's a lot difficult to be in the middle. Professor Yunus also had said that anybody who makes money in microfinance is a money lender, and that the only thing banks are adding is foreign exchange risk to microfinance. So he's taken some extreme positions besides his leadership and all the good work he has done. On the other side, you got people who have this idea that make the most you can, and then markets will work, competition would increase, and pricing would be lower. So there are two extreme positions. My view is that microfinance is not commercial or social, that it is something new. It is a hybrid. It is like the DNA, where the social and commercial aspects are not distinct but intermingled in quite a lot of ways. And I think that the path of recognizing that we are dealing with a special kind of client, that the industry is distinguished from other businesses in the sense that the clients we're dealing with are kind of different, are special, and we have to care about that if you're ultimately going to grow the business. So I think the focus of the campaign for client protection is just not a communication, but it is also trying to nudge people, trying to develop the implementation tools so investors, when they're doing their due diligence, are looking at it, that the practitioners like Mr. Ghosh, you know, who are well-meaning, can find reasonable and pragmatic ways to deal with over-indebtedness and issues that are there. You know, it doesn't mean that you stop lending, because microfinance has proven to be one of the most important entry point in dealing with issues of poverty, because money makes the world go around. So I think what I am so glad to see is that what has been done in terms of selection of the steering committee is you can see different aspects of microfinance, small, some large institution. You can see African and Asian and Eastern European. And I think that perspective, hopefully over the next 3 years, will start making a beginning effort towards resolution. These are complex issues, Robin, and I don't want to, you know, minimize them in any way, but they are essential issues for us to start talking about and doing something about.
I just want to say that, one of the major issues we are grappling with is what is social enterprise? And as Asad mentioned, Professor Yunus sort of believes that a social enterprise is where you put in the capital and you don't get any dividends and you're able to get your capital back, right? Now, that may be a very clever way to rotate donor or grant capital. I think that's as that donor and grant capital gets smaller and smaller, that's a good way to rotate it. But you really cannot attract people who are investing in the company from a return point of view, which is the majority of the capital which is there in the world. So we were sort of grappling with that issue. And in the last equity issue we raised just post-crisis, we had the first private equity investor. So we thought that was a good time to figure out what we are going to be, what kind of an enterprise. That's when we thought that what we would do is take, when an enterprise makes money, you pay your taxes, pay your dividends to your shareholders. Post that, you set aside a certain percentage of your profit, just like you set aside the money for the dividend, for a fund for the customers, which will be used for the benefit of the customers, maybe 10 or 20% of your profits, previous year's profits. And similarly, because we have a lot of poor people also working within our organization, especially at the field level, we would set aside maybe 5 to 10%, which would be used for the benefit of the staff, and it will be done by them. It would be a committee of the customers and us, which will decide how to use that money, and similarly, staff and us as to how to use that money for their benefit, so that all the stakeholders of the enterprise have a stake in that profit. You know, it's not just the equity investors. So that's been our definition of social enterprise. Let's see if it works.
Ah, that's very interesting. And your private equity investor embraced this.
They accepted it.
Which
because the thing is, if you use that money, the way we explain to them is that using that money in terms of client retention or staff retention, we could have done it in another manner, just used it as an expense for client and staff retention, and it would have worked. So they said, that's fine.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Shamit Ghosh from Ujjivan, based in Bangalore, India, member of the steering committee for the Campaign for Client Protection and Microfinance, and Asad Mahmood, who directs all of Deutsche Bank's social investing and who is based in New York. Thank you both for chatting with me today. I'm sure that our listeners will have lots of questions for you down the line. Hopefully we can do this again.
Thank you.
To learn more about the Campaign for Client Protection, visit the website at www.campaignforclientprotection.org. And to learn more about the Center for Financial Inclusion, visit our website at www.centerforfinancialinclusion.org.